When I was young, living at home, there was a member of my extended family who could be unpredictably rather mean, even abusive. Well, maybe it wasn't so unpredictable. There were times when this individual could be kind, even generous, but if they were hurt by someone, if they even perceived being hurt by someone, they could lash out almost indiscriminately. Now, obviously, if they could figure out who exactly hurt them, their aggression would be pointed most at them, but be that as it may, everybody had to look out. And I remember hearing them say this once: when I hurt, I am driven to make sure someone else hurts as well. Now, that obviously is not a kingdom of God statement. As a matter of fact, it runs contrary to the very essence of the kingdom of God. But it's something that we're facing a little bit today. Actually, that statement had been repressed in my memory for a long, long time until I was reading an article on the internet recently about a particular political leader who said this: when someone hits me, I'm going to hit back, and I'm going to hit them harder. Now, the last time we were together, we talked about Luke chapter 6 and how the Lord has these amazing teachings about loving enemies, doing good to those that hurt you, blessing those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you, give to everyone who asks you, do to others as you would have them do to you. And then it goes on and says, love your enemies and do good to them. These are amazing teachings that represent the fact that the kingdom of God is far different than anything we are experiencing in life today. The virtues, the values of the kingdom, wow, they cut straight across what are common values that we see happening in people's lives. And nowhere is this more true than when you have somebody that has some power wanting to use their power to hurt people who criticize them for the way they exercise their power. It's quite a statement to say that when someone hits me, I'm going to hit them back harder. Now, admittedly, there is a degree to which I understand this, because really it's part of the condition of sin in our lives. You see, because we're living in a world in which we experience the brokenness of being on the wrong side of Eden, if you will, I think we can understand that there's a brokenness that's in many of our hearts, and that brokenness actually causes us to lean away from the virtues and values of the kingdom. But as a Christian, we have to move forward to understand there's kind of a progression that needs to take place in our lives, a progression that's part of our own growth toward maturity. By the way, maybe it would be good to ask, have you ever had an occasion where someone hit you and you wanted to hit them back and even hit them harder? Hitting doesn't mean necessarily physically. It means to do something back to them that will hurt them. I wouldn't be telling the truth if I didn't say that, yeah, that's something that I have felt. It's not only something that I've felt, but in my past, it's something that I have done. But once we become a Christian, it's really important that we ask the Holy Spirit to help us embrace the virtues and values of the kingdom. And so there's kind of a progression that goes in our life as we begin to move toward maturity. So it works something like this. Before we're Christians, someone hits us, we want to hit them back, and often we do. This is one of the reasons that we have laws in our country, because the purpose of a law isn't to transform our character, it's to modify our behavior. And so we have laws to keep us from doing the things that we want to do. And what I learned when I first became a Christian, that even as a Christian in the earliest stages of my Christian life, I learned that this is something I shouldn't do, but I wanted to do it, but I didn't do it, because the community of Christ taught me that that's not a good thing to do. But I think it's important to mention that my progress was just the progress of having wanted to do something and doing it to wanting to do something and not doing it. But it's important that you know that deep in my heart, there would still be that desire to do it, but I was constrained in my behavior by the expectations of Christians. You see, transformation happens in our lives when we can get to the place that we know we no longer even want to strike back, that something deep inside of us has occurred and that has so aligned us with the purpose of the kingdom that our first thought isn't, you hurt me, how can I hurt you? Or, because I hurt, somebody has to hurt. That's when rules no longer guide our behavior, but instead, there's a transformation that happens deep inside of us, a character transformation. I've said this before, but I think it's important to mention again that behavior modification, I guess, is important so that we don't do things we shouldn't do, but ultimately God is not looking for us to experience behavior modification. He wants us to have character transformation. And that's a work that goes deep when we surrender to the transforming and, if you will, sanctifying power and presence of the Holy Spirit within us. So once again, let's just look at this little progression that happens. There's a time in our life before Christ where we want to lash out and we do. Then we come to Christ and we learn we shouldn't lash out, so we don't, because our behavior is being constrained, but deep inside we still want to. But then, and by the way, often we feel good about ourselves because we didn't, even though we do want to. But then we get to the point of allowing God to go deep into us, and there's a transformation that takes place, and we no longer want to. I was thinking about Luke chapter 23, verses 1 to 25, just kind of considering our Lord at his trial and how he was silent and he didn't strike back, how even when Peter tried to defend him, he stopped him. He was being hurt, but he didn't use his power to hurt somebody else. And I don't think Jesus was sitting there saying, oh, Father, I'd really like to punch him in the eye. I think deep inside, his alignment with the kingdom was such that he had no desire for such. I began to actually think about that moment after the trial when they put a crown of thorns on his head, how painful that would be, along with the 39 lashes, and yet to come being nailed to a cross. I mean, for me, I can't imagine not yelling, screaming, and lashing out and swinging when someone would be putting thorns pressed into my head, and yet Jesus doesn't. So you see, when Jesus teaches us in Luke chapter 6 to do good to them that hate us, he's going to go on and he's going to demonstrate that in ways, well, that few of us could ever even understand. Jesus is showing us a new way of the kingdom. How a heart can be aligned to love others even when others are hurting them. How a heart can be so aligned with the heart of God that even when individuals are striking out, our impulse is not to strike back, but instead to even seek the well-being of those that are seeking to do us harm. I think that's what Jesus is saying when he talks about things like giving your coat and then even your shirt, and not expecting payment back. Jesus is showing what the kingdom of God is like. And that's why in that verse that we see in verse 36, it says we got to be merciful because that's the way the Father is. He's merciful. And we learn to be merciful. I thought a lot about this. I still have a lot of growth to go. I can tell you that. But at least now I know what I need to be praying about. I don't just pray, oh, Lord, keep me from lashing out. But the prayer needs to be, according to Scripture, Lord, change my heart so there is no desire to hit back or to lash out. That's when we really align with the kingdom. Yeah, it feels good to know we didn't do what we wanted to do, but it must go deeper. We have to get to the point where we are really able to align and reflect the very heart of our Lord. So we have people that are in leadership today that make statements, well, make the statement, I hit back. Well, I want to give you some suggestions here that I've been thinking about, suggestions that I want to embrace in my own life and suggestions you might want to think about too, because the bottom line is there is a battle going on. There is evil in the midst of all this. There will be opposition. There will be trial. There will be comments. There will be occasion when we feel hurt. Well, what should we do about it? Well, let me start with this. I think the first thing we need to do when we're hurt, when we experience some loss, is we got to go to the Lord first. Before we do anything else, go to the Lord and talk to Him. And talk to Him honestly about Him. Let Him know what's happened. Let Him know what you feel. Even let Him know what you are thinking and wishing for the person that may have hurt you. That's a very important first step. It's a way to take our losses and our hurts to the Lord before we become a person who hurts those who hurt us. Then we become a wounded wounder, don't we? When God, in fact, wants us to become wounded healers. I believe that God is open at any time for His children to come and to honestly talk about the pain in their life, the people that have caused that pain. And as Anselm Gruen once said, to even rage before God so that that offense can get off of us and we don't carry that rage in a way that all of a sudden we will be lashing out. I think the second thing we need to realize is this. Our response when someone hurts us or people hurt us is really part of the whole idea of spiritual warfare. I mentioned this the last time, and it profoundly impacted me when I read that Miroslav Volf, he's a great theologian, made the comment that it takes two acts for evil to win. The evil act done to you, the evil act you do in response. But if you choose not to do an evil act in response, there is no ground, there is no foothold for the evil one, and it can break the cycle. So when Jesus talks in Luke 6 about doing good, it's just not being a goody two-shoes. There's spiritual warfare behind this. And Jesus wants us to understand that His prescription here in these scriptures, which seems so hard and certainly countercultural, is a prescription to push back darkness, to bring more light into the world. So what do we do when someone hurts us? Instead of writing an article and going on the news media and say, I hit those who hit me, maybe we ought to first go before the Lord and talk to Him honestly about what happened and what we feel. Then maybe we need to realize that there's something about warfare that's going on here, and our choices make a difference. Here's the third thing. We're going to ask the Lord to give us the power to forgive, to release the person that's done something to us and put it in the hands of God. Forgiveness doesn't mean it doesn't matter. Forgiveness doesn't mean I'm going to put myself in a situation to get whacked again, but it does mean that I'm not going to look for payment or retribution. But I'm going to let that be to God, and I'm going to extend forgiveness. We know that even in the Lord's Prayer, there is a relationship between our own experience of forgiveness and our ability to extend forgiveness. And in Jesus' teaching in Matthew 18 about being in a, if you will, jail cell of our own imprisonment when we fail to forgive others. Maybe right now you could ask the Lord if there's someone in your life that you would do well to forgive. Well, let me give you the fourth point, and that is, let's ask the Holy Spirit to do a deep work inside of us, to move from not just being constrained in our desire to do bad behavior, but to see God change our character so it isn't even our first choice. Doesn't mean things won't hurt. It doesn't mean we won't experience disappointment. It doesn't mean that weapons won't be formed against us. They will. But it does mean we can say to the Holy Spirit, do a deeper work, change me. And here's the fifth thing I want to say, and it's something about Jesus that we need to remember in our own lives. Jesus remained obedient to God and faithful to the kingdom, even when there were unpleasant consequences brought to bear in His own life. Let me say that again. Jesus remained obedient to God and faithful to the kingdom, even when it brought unpleasant consequences to his life. That's how committed Jesus was to doing things the kingdom way. You know, our actions are seldom neutral. Most of the time, we're either bringing light or contributing to darkness. Most of the time, we're bringing light, we're contributing to darkness. May we respond to this teaching of Jesus in such a way that we say, Lord, do a good and deep work inside of us that we might be forever changed.